The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Now, it's sport, but not as we know it. With the return of GAA to playing pitches around Ireland and nightly televised soccer, at least sports fans have more options than they had in lockdown. But as Jonathan Healy now reports, we can expect the disruption to continue for some time yet.
Like most things, sport was really disrupted by COVID. And like most things, it came back weird. Soccer, for example, sounded like a five-a-side in a big empty hall. Then someone came up with the idea of piping in some sound effects, and that sounded even weirder.
To Dortmund, subsequently to Paris Saint-Germain, great friends with Diallo. Similar kind of player as well.
It was hard to ruin sport after we'd missed it for so long, but the absence of the crowd made for a less enjoyable experience. In fact, it really annoyed some people.
But it's fake. It's fake. You can't make... Isn't it like you're watching a film on German television and Clint Eastwood is speaking German? You can't have sound in a stadium. What is that about? What do you do? We'll do that in Norway then. We have an average crowd of 4,000. Can you send us some sound then from America or what?
Then after we sorted the sound out, someone else pointed out that they'd missed the gurning faces from the stands. So they started to put in cardboard cutouts instead.
Ingo Müller, a self-declared super fan, set up an app to get in touch with fellow football enthusiasts. He has so far managed to install over 6,000 cardboard cutouts through his app. Fans sent in their photos, which were then standardized and eventually installed in the stadium.
Someone even put Osama bin Laden in the cardboard crowd at Elland Road, despite the fact that he clearly wasn't a Leeds supporter. And while soccer is now staple in most homes every night, the general consensus is that it's not the same. Sport needs spectators, because without them, sport itself is at risk.
It's also costing sports leagues billions of dollars. See, without games, there's no ticket sales, no broadcasting contracts, and no advertising, which means clubs are struggling to pay their players, coaches, and all the other people who help their clubs function. Go! Across Australia, players have taken big pay cuts just to help their clubs survive. While a lot of other employees have lost their jobs entirely, around 80% of the AFL's workforce have been stood down, while the players agreed to a 50% pay cut.
The financial implications of those empty stands are significant. The big clubs aren't shy of a few bob, but given that stadia will most likely remain empty until the risk of spread is removed by a vaccine, this problem is going to grow. For now, we just have to accept that sports stars will be playing their matches in oversized training grounds.
Barely 6 months ago, Miami's Hard Rock Stadium was rolling out the green carpet for a Super Bowl crowd of 65,000. Now, the Dolphins and the rest of the sports world are trying to figure out what their stadiums will look like in the age of COVID. Dolphins president Tom Garfinkel said in early May that they were already considering how to drop capacity to just 15,000 fans, and he is not alone.
Every venue in the country is having these conversations right now. We're talking to baseball owners, football owners, basketball owners, and their operations staff. Literally every day.
Not many would rush to a crowded Croke Park around now in the same way that we'd avoid a heaving nightclub or one of those risky choirs we've been hearing about. But we need sport. It helps to keep us sane, both as fans and as athletes. I'm not one of those, of course, but I do like to exercise.
So I am taking on this challenge tomorrow. I'm going to do an Ironman from my home.
The lengths that one man went to complete a triathlon.
So what's involved, I will be swimming in a builder skip for 60 minutes, which is the equivalent to 2.5 miles. Then I'll be jumping on my bike and riding for 112 miles. And then jumping onto the treadmill and then running 26 miles, which is a marathon.
As Ireland continues to move through the phases, we've started to see sport open up again. The GAA, for example, has established an extensive return to play protocol.
I'm Dermot Daly. I'm PRO for St Vincent's GAA, based on the north side of Dublin. And today it's our first day back in the safe return to play. It's been a long time coming, and we're just delighted to be opening back up and having the kids out playing and training tonight.
From a video on the GAA's website.
We had to get signage in place. We had to get everybody trained on COVID supervision, trained on the guidelines and so on. So we put in a massive amount of work over the last couple of weeks just to get the message through to everybody, every player, every mentor, every member, every parent, every guardian. We've held online webinars and so on, training. We've been sending messages to them on all our social media channels, across our email. But we think the message has got through. We're seeing good response to the health questionnaire and so on. We're just raring to go now.
COVID-19 restrictions are something of a moving target. What might be acceptable this week could be banned again next. And as sport returns, there's a risk of overreaction and, worse still, of vilification.
Now, I want to move on and talk to Nicholas Walsh, former AFL and Cavan footballer. Nicholas Walsh is with us. Nicholas is the mental health program manager at the AFL Coaches Association. And we're talking now about the Conor McKenna story this week in Australian football.
From OTB Sports.
On the fifth test, there was shown an irregularity, which then he was brought in for a secondary test on the Saturday morning after having full contact training with the group the day before. He tested positive on that day. Since then, he's had another test subsequently today, and it's just been reported that he has now tested negative again. So the fact that Conor McKenna has been, you know, essentially could have been hung out to dry, where he may have done, you know, nothing wrong at all.
The announcement that the Irish-born Aussie rule star Conor McKenna was positive for COVID brought a heap of opprobrium onto his shoulders. So as well as dealing with the possibility that he may have had the illness, he was almost being blamed for ruining the sport.
If a journalist broke a story saying that Conor McKenna had tested positive for coronavirus, and that story was wrong, he hadn't tested positive at all, well, then I think that he is absolutely required to apologise, to recant. There may even be legal action for that. But, you know, we're all dealing with this virus across the world. The AFL has completely changed the face of the league in 2020 based on the virus. We've had our first player test positive after having an irregularity, essentially tested positive twice. Of course it's in the public interest.
The Australian media has been criticised for how they handled the McKenna case, but would we respond any differently if a sports star here had been found to be positive? Because continuing sport during a pandemic is a risk, no matter what the sport is.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall, making its way to the ring from Cameron, North Carolina.
Okay, that's not a real sport, but it provides an insight.
Look, Corbin, he comes out here, he says I'm ridiculous, he says I'm a gimmick, for no reason other than, what, I'm strumming a guitar or something like that? The guy literally wears a crown, a cape, a scepter, thinks he's some sort of king. I mean, that's just the start of my issues with Baron Corbin.
WWE got an exemption because it was filmed in Florida and was officially a sport. So they continued on throughout. And guess what? Some people got sick. And then you've the likes of this.
In the face of a global health crisis, here's what Novak Djokovic thought the world needed. A series of tennis tournaments with crowds hugging and no social distancing. The Adria Tour was scheduled to crisscross the Balkans. After the event in Belgrade, the players went to a nightclub to celebrate, sing and have fun. Now, all this has been cancelled after Djokovic became the fourth player involved in the tour to test positive for coronavirus. His wife, along with another player's wife and two members of the support staff, have also contracted the disease. Djokovic is now in isolation in Serbia. In a statement, he said, "I am extremely sorry for each individual case of infection."
Novak Djokovic and his ill-timed Balkan tournament. Djokovic, it seems, wasn't for taking the threat of COVID very seriously.
The current men's world number one has expressed concerns over suggestions that it will become compulsory for players to get vaccinated before they can take to the court again. In a conversation broadcast over social media with other Serbian athletes on Sunday, Djokovic said, quote, "Personally, I'm opposed to vaccination, and I wouldn't want to be forced by someone to take a vaccine in order to be able to travel."
Of course, in a parallel universe right now, Novak and his buddies are at Wimbledon. The kids have just started their summer holidays, and I'm getting ready to go to Lanzarote. Which would all be lovely, except for, you know, COVID-19. So let's be thankful for the sport we now have. Let's cut those who are trying their best some slack. And let's hope, more than anything else, that everybody who is playing, professionally or just with their local club, well, let's just hope they all stay safe.